been neglectful of my duty. Anyway.
Consider another question. If you wanted to know how your members felt about dental insurance coverage, you go to the files and look up a membership survey on medical insurance. I think so. And yet, any current implications about the popularity of the sales tax in Oregon are based on proposals very different from the one on which we will vote September 17th. My point is that I want you to take a fresh look at the new sales tax. I ask you to take a fresh look at it because it is different from all the past proposals. As a result, the Oregon sales tax should not be anchored by the political ballast of the defeated proposals in the 30s, 40s, or 60s. This morning I want to talk briefly about four myths surrounding this sales tax of 1985. And the first myth is this. That is it just another layer of taxation to provide more money to schools or the state government or to some pet program. Now you can safely forget that myth. The fact is, every penny from the sales tax will be used to reduce existing property taxes and income taxes. The size of the pot will not grow. Instead, property taxes will be reduced by an average of 35% statewide. And income taxes will be reduced by almost 10%. The second myth is that as soon as the people pass this carefully drafted sales tax, the politicians here in Salem will begin monkeying around with it. And you don't want that. I don't want that. This is another myth you may forget. You may forget it because the key elements of this new Oregon sales tax will be locked permanently into the Oregon Constitution. No one but the people will be able to change the rate of 5%. Only the people of Oregon touch the rate. No one but the people will be able to change the use of sales tax revenues for public schools and community colleges. No one but the people will be able to change the new, tighter limitations on the growth of local Third myth is that the property taxes, like a forest fire, will run wildly out of control again. And it's time to forget about that myth as well. This new Oregon sales tax brings with it the strictest limitation on local property taxes ever seriously proposed in Oregon. It is stricter even than that in ballot measure 2, 500,000 voters. Why do I say that? Well, I say that because cities and counties are limited to the 6% annual growth in property taxes, and there's only two elections a year instead of six in which that might be changed. Of course, we'll have to vote on that. At the same time, schools are limited to an annual property tax growth of 3%. Schools will be permitted only one election annually for a new tax base. And they'll be permitted only one election annually for a special levy. And then, only if the total spending per student will not be increased. Very strict. But it is also a limit that the majority of the educational community recognizes will give our schools the money that they do need to operate and be stable. The final myth is that a sales tax is, by definition, unfair or regressive or hard on low-income taxpayers. Now, I agree. Some sales tax are regressive. And one of the reasons that I've opposed the sales tax for all these years. But any suggestion that this new Oregon sales tax is regressive is but one more myth that you can't forget. I say that because this sales tax exempts the most common everyday purchases that most people make. Let me give you a partial list. Exempt food or home consumption. rent and mortgage payments, household utility bills, gas, medical, dental, accounting, and other services, prescription drugs. Let me ask you, when was the last time your county assessor offered you an exemption on your property taxes? In other words, the fabled regressivity of the sales tax actually is, in this instance, far more progressive than the property tax. In addition to those exemptions, the building a credit that will rebate a part of the sales tax paid by any household with an income under $17,500. You consider your position. Please substitute these facts of the new Oregon sales tax for the myths of the old sales tax. First, remember that every dime of sales tax revenue will reduce existing property and income taxes. Second, remember that key provisions of this new Oregon sales tax will be locked into the Oregon Constitution. Third, remember this sales tax will be accompanied by the tightest property tax limit in the history of the state. That's in the Constitution. This limitation will not become law unless the sales tax itself becomes law. Fourth, remember this is a progressive as sales tax as can be written. No new taxes, constitutional guarantees, strict limits on property taxes, and a fairness to low-income Oregonians. I believe as a former opponent, that is a winning combination. A few minutes ago, I said I expected the sales tax to pass in September, and I do. But I expect it to pass only because I expect this new Oregon sales tax to win your support and support of other Oregonians. I want you to ask yourselves, please ask yourselves, what is the alternative to this sales tax? Now, each one of us knows the alternative to sales tax is a 1.5% property tax limitation. I strongly believe the property tax limitation would silence businesses, eliminate jobs, and shutter payroll windows at a time when Oregon should be expanding its economy at an unprecedented rate. So I want your help. The way I see it is that the sales tax is the only alternative to a limitation. The sales tax will assure our economic future. A limitation will cloud our future. Father, so that we will not be able to determine what our future in Oregon is going to be. I want you to consider what you can do, not only as an organization, but as well individually. Tell the story of this new Oregon sales tax. Decide whether you can help by raising money or by writing letters or by speaking to your members or by going door to door or whatever the means is necessary. However you choose to help, together we will deliver a victory for Oregon. 1985 that will confound our expectations. Strange. I said this earlier this year when I went to the executive committee down at the Coast. Who would have believed 2 years ago that Governor Attia would be coming to any neighborhood suggesting they support a sales tax? I wouldn't have written that scenario. You certainly would then. 25 years of being opposed to the sales tax. Here I am, talking to you about it, and even, heaven forbid, suggesting you support it. But I think I can fairly simply later would ask that question. Because labor certainly has the greatest at stake, the economic future of the state. As Victor said earlier, I've worked awfully hard to tear down the terrible image that Oregon has had. Let people know that we are in fact open for business, but we do want jobs for Oregonians. So I think I have the courage now to stand up before you and say that this is important for the economic future of our state. But I believe it is in your own best self interest to be supportive of the sales tax. And I'm going to do that at every opportunity that I have. Certainly I expect to be at the LCI convention in August. We'll be working there for support of the sales tax. Strange mix. We talk at work, you have asked for your support. But I do believe it will protect us. It doesn't constitutional guarantee.
Next year.
I do believe we've taken out the regressivity state. I do believe it is important for the economic future of my state. I do believe there is no other alternative other than a limitation such as ballot measure 2. So that's why I'm asking you to support the measure. And then, of course, just briefly, and I'll have you ask some questions. Been tough year for. It's been a tough 4 years for you. It's been a tough 4 years for the state of Oregon. It's been a tough 4 years for me as a governor. If I could have picked the worst time to be a governor in Oregon's history, I could have done a more precise job. It's been very good. Keep the state running and I think you should. Same time to try to find jobs for Oregonians. People have trouble understanding what I would say to them. You know, it really hurts me. Really feel Oregonians are unemployed. I don't know if many people can understand that, but it did. I felt so responsible to do something, jobs for Oregonians. It was heavy on my shoulders. I've worked very hard to break down the negative image that Oregon has had. Let me say to you this. I'm absolutely confident that image has been removed. Still fragile, but nonetheless removed. If people are looking at Oregon in an entirely different light than they have in the past 12 years, and that indeed our opportunity for economic future is definitely there, we still have unacceptably high unemployment rate. It's down from 3%, which is 1982, to 12.6%, but still, that's much too high. My optimism is very high. I am optimistic about the future. So let me only say to you that I feel desperately that I need to do what I can to get jobs for Oregon. I do personally feel that way. And I'll continue my efforts to do just that. Thank you all very much for listening to me, and now let me answer any questions you have. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, Governor, you covered a gamut of the supposed loopholes. However, there are two loopholes that I'd like to maybe address that became very evident on the horizon here in the immediate past. One deals with the local government and the county government getting in a pipeline and then coming back and with their assessor's office to reassess the value of your property. Second, then dealing with local government coming back in an attempt to enact increased taxation on utilities. A futile attempt to try to maintain the local government. This is, my recollection, not addressed in the total package of the sales tax or the property tax limitations, and I wonder how you would want to approach those two items.
The question of local governments, which is city, counties, and other governments, versus the limitation on schools. Let me rewind that just a little bit more. I believe very strongly that we need local government in order to develop the infrastructure necessary for us to see expanding businesses and new businesses. And I come to that even more strongly as a result of the announcements in Washington County last year and the kind of work that we had to do in state government and the kind of negotiations we had to have with Washington County, which is incidentally strapped, really they are strapped very sadly. And it had to be a partnership. The state doesn't have all the dollars necessary, although I'm asking for some money for public works, I call it, out of the lottery dollars. So I concluded that part of my economic package is a matter of allowing cities and counties, water districts, sewer districts, to assist an infrastructure problem, that we should not have a limitation on that, that we are the schools. However, the one thing we did do is reduce the number of elections, which are six, of all districts, incidentally, down to two. And so the restrictions, the only restrictions on them would be election. That's all they have. The schools are going to get the sales tax dollars. Local government is not going to get any of them. Schools are going to get all of them. That's why they not only have the stricter limitation, but theirs is in the Constitution. Now, I feel that's a good balance. If we as Oregonians can't control our local governments, when we no longer have to be concerned about our schools, because the schools are the ones that are going to take all of our attention, I don't know, you know, how much protection can we really give our Oregonians if we don't pay enough attention and can't manage those and hold those down. The assessor, incidentally, cannot capriciously raise assessed values because they're under control at the state level. There's a control on them at the state level in terms of a ratio that they have to maintain. There are many other protections, I think, wherever, but there is even less incentive, if it ever happened, to be capricious about raising assessed values. That there's a limitation on schools. No way they can spend it anymore. We have to change the value to house. So if that were even true, we wouldn't be able to first under the Portland Development Commission. The second part would be the question.
Then we get a reassessment on the third piece without
the second part had to do with
jumping away to hell and gone.
Not sure what the survival rate of that bill is going to be. That is not, yeah, you're right, that is not addressed in this sales tax package. That would then would come to what we call other fees. Those are among other ways of raising money that local governments can do other than property taxes. Yes, you're right, that is not maintained. But there's a matter of vigilance, I think, by people at the local level. And I guess that's the only control. That's the only one that's left. You're right. There's no statutory constitutional provision there to hold that down.
Just a little bit. So. Simple like tax.
But the balance, I would say to you, and I'm still, I'm fully aware of it, the balance, I think, is a good one. And that would not be a reason for us not to support the sales tax. I get back to the alternative of my bar works. I'll try to make a shorter answer. Yeah. No, was I surprised at the success of the lottery? No, I thought, you know, after all the people voted, it was overwhelming, man. And I should tell you, and I'm sure you've heard it, that although I opposed the lottery, and once some people passed it, I figured my job was to make it work. And so, really, we've done a pretty good job. Bob Smith and the commission and the members have done a cracking good job. No, I expected it to be as popular as it was. I've not yet bought a ticket. I don't know how many of you have. Or how successful you've been, but I haven't seen your names in the papers. it's an entertainment, and I suppose they're out for the expensive entertainment. People might win some money. I must tell you, I was over there, and I spun that huge wheel they had. This was sort of a practice thing. Oh, it did about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And so I just spun the wheel once. I enjoyed $25,000 came up.
You do something.
Now, if I was spending for real, you know what would happen. Zero would come up. That was just fun.
Holly, did you have a question you'd like to ask the governor about this conference?
On the premium, the committee? I think the committee, incidentally, first of all, did a good job. And I think objectively, or as objective as I guess you can get, they came down with an answer, and I think that the committee, particularly their labor representatives, figure, well, that's the answer. It didn't come out the way we wanted it to come out, but nonetheless, that's the answer. However, the committee recommended that they do continue. That was in their first draft to me, and I accepted that recommendation. Then I understand there was another meeting, which they said, after I said yes, fine, just what I actually told the committee is come back and tell me how much it's going to cost to continue it. They came back with saying, we don't want to continue it, which is not the answer I was looking for. That's not the answer I asked for. We said, however, to them, before we comment on this letter, go back. Go back and rework that thought, because we want you to continue and to continue to monitor this whole workers' comp situation. So I presume that the next meeting, people will be notified in time, and everybody will be there, and I'll get the answer that I want. Yes.
Now, Governor, you gave us the exemption. That's a family of four. What would that family of four, the average family of four in Oregon, pay in sales tax?
I can't give you an answer. There have been some examples that have been produced by the revenue office, the legislative revenue office. And what they have done is that if you're in a certain income category, and that if you spend, let me see if I can remember. I understand this is all coming from memory, so don't take it as exact. If you're making $25,000 a year and you spend $10,000 on purchased items for the sales tax, you will come out better. The better meaning that the property tax reduction and the income tax reduction is more than offsetting the sales tax you pay. But if you made $25,000 and spent $15,000 on sales tax, then you would come off worse. And that's the way the figures have come down. But I can't give any to you. I'm doing this all from memory, but they produce that kind of information. Now, that's going to vary incidentally between us. For example, for two or three years, we may not make a major purchase, and then one year we may. So maybe that year we will come off worse than we would before. I think by and large, we're all going to, depends on what we buy, we're all going to relatively benefit from it. Now, when I say that to you, the pot is this big. The pot at the present time includes income tax and property tax. The pot doesn't change. It'll be income tax, property tax, and sales tax. So the pot's the same size. So among all of us in Oregonia, we're not going to pay any more taxes. But there'll be some changes between us as Oregonians. It depends on what we buy. It's hard to determine. Yes.
Governor, I appreciate all of the diligence and work that you've done in encouraging new employers to come to Oregon. The one point that I might raise here is, coming from Portland, we have a number of contractors up there, and one thing that they guarantee by contract is that they will hire locally. Now, I've heard a number of times over the past few months that there are a number of employers coming to Oregon that intend to hire locally. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, and maybe when they come to Oregon, we could get some kind of guarantee that they will hire Oregonians first.
Let me share with you recent conversations I had in Japan. I visited NEC and Fujitsu and Epson. Those are the companies that Japanese companies that decided to worry. They made a point. I didn't press them. They're the ones that, and incidentally, they all did it. And they made a point, I think, even with a sense of real pride, that they were going to be hiring Oregonians. And beyond that, even in the construction part of their work, they kept telling me, you know, they were doing business with Oregonians and buying Oregon products. And I didn't trigger the conversation. And it's...